Welcome to the Exposé Podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Molly.
And we're just a couple of goofy gals here to tell you about topics and get down to the real nitty-gritty of it all.
We are here to help you navigate through the confusing ins and outs of hot topics and get down to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and listen to our next topic.
Thanks for listening to the Exposé.
Now gather round while I elucidate on what happens outside when it gets late. 'Cause right outside and waiting there is the headless horseman. Beware! And I'm getting out of here.
Is it recording? Yeah, okay.
We're on.
We are keeping with the Halloween train this week.
Insert ghoulie sound.
Yeah, we just wanted to look into where Halloween comes from. Just all about Halloween. Exposing Halloween, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But first, I know that nobody said this would involve math, but I have a math question for you, Rachel.
Okay.
What do you get if you divide a pumpkin's circumference by its diameter?
Ooh, a pie? The pie? The pumpkin square root of pie.
Oh. Pumpkin pie. Very close.
It was so close.
You're like, I know it has something to do with pie and circles and whatever.
Well, I have a question for you as well.
Oh, really?
Maybe more to do with law enforcement. Mm. Why did the policeman ticket the ghost on Halloween?
He had too much booze.
That's a good one.
I don't know.
He didn't have a haunting license.
Oh.
There's
yeah,
so many.
Go try those on your friends, folks. Are you going to be anything for Halloween this year, Rachel?
I am going to a murder mystery party. Ooh. That's Harry Potter themed, and I'm going as Bellatrix Lestrange.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I still need to get a costume for her, but I think I can do the hair and makeup just fine. So, what about you?
I don't really have a plan. My family wants to do like a Zoom call on Halloween, I guess. And my mom wants to dress up for that. So I need to think of something. But right now I'm kind of at the point where I have a witch hat and that's probably going to be what I go with.
Why not?
Because I don't know what else. I'm making my dog, Mabel, a costume, like a little Day of the Dead skeleton jacket.
Aww,
thing.
Cute. So.
Yeah, so that's what she's going to wear. If I can finish it by Halloween, we'll see.
My dog, she has a little costume collection that we've accumulated over the years. So maybe she'll go as a skeleton or Batman's sidekick, Robin.
Nice.
Those are a couple that I can think of.
Yeah, Mabel had a sushi costume.
Oh,
but I think she outgrew it. Like she's two, so just kind of like this year, she's kind of at her peak size, I guess you could say. So like the ones from the past, they're probably too small now. I know, it's kind of a bummer with COVID and everything. We can't really have Halloween parties. I always want to have a party and then I never do. And after my last party fail at Christmas, I probably will never have another party again.
Hey, I went to that.
That's true. The pod was pretty much born from that.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But coming up on 1 year.
Exciting. We'll have to do something special for our 1 year anniversary. But
happy birthday!
I guess you guys are probably wanting us to get on with the show here.
Get on with it.
It's, I think, sort of common knowledge that Halloween started as a pagan festival back in the Celtic area of the UK, or what is now the UK, Ireland, and I guess parts of Western Europe. So like France area is where the Celtic people lived. Mm-hmm. And they called it Samhain. Mm-hmm. It looks like Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain.
Samhain.
And that is a word that just means summer's end. They celebrated their new year at this time. So their new year began November 1st. And it fell between the fall equinox and the winter solstice.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was kind of a time to celebrate the end of harvest in the beginning of winter, which was the dark season. So it was kind of associated with like death and the end of things as well. I suppose that's kind of where the whole macabre side of Halloween comes from. They believed that the night before the new year, the veil between the living and the dead was the thinnest of the whole year. So they had the opportunity to perhaps see some things from the spirit world. Those that had died in the last year might be able to move on and could interact with the living. And I think they thought that they had more connection with the spirit world, so they would do like divination at this time. The druids would try to make prophecies about the next year, various ways.
Yeah, so it like just made it easier for the druids to make predictions of the future, like you had said. But druids also built huge sacred bonfires where people gathered around to burn their crops and animals as sacrifices.
Yeah, I saw a fun fact that I was interested in because I like how words came to be. And so I saw that what they would do is they'd like sacrifice cattle or animals, and then they would burn the bones in a bone fire. See where I'm going with this?
Oh,
and that's how the word bonfire came to be, because of that tradition.
Creepy. I like that.
They would do that, I think, was also supposed to guide the spirits, like the light from the fire was supposed to guide the spirits. Ghosts, and not only like the dead, but also elves and fairies and wee folk and dark energies would be able to kind of cross over. And not all of these things may have had like the most good intentions. And so that's kind of where masks came into play. People would kind of disguise themselves because there was always the chance that a spirit of somebody that maybe you had wronged in the past would come back and try to harm you. Or as we learned last week, fairies aren't always the nicest, sweetest little things. So they might play tricks on you and stuff. So they would disguise themselves so that they wouldn't be recognized by spirits. But if they saw the spirit of a loved one, they could reveal themselves to them and then connect with their loved ones that had passed. So those were often disguises made of ashes from the bonfire, animal masks, animal heads, animal skins, that kind of thing.
And they also attempted to tell each other their fortunes.
It was kind of a big deal to do fortune telling at this time. To tie up this Celtic chapter in Halloween's history, they would also set out food for the dead, favorite foods, like as an offering. That kind of is the stem of like food being involved in Halloween. And it kind of reminds me of like the Day of the Dead in Mexico, because I feel like they do that kind of thing for their family, loved ones.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And then when the bonfire was over, they would go back and relight their hearths at home, kind of as a way to carry on the sacred fire through the winter. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
That all was between like 2000 to 4000 years ago was when like this tradition started. So it's been around for a long time. The next part of history that I found was when the Romans came over and kind of conquered Britain and the Celtic areas.
Okay.
And that was in 43 AD. So it's still almost 2000 years ago at this point. And they ruled that area for about 400 years. And during that time, some Roman festivals were incorporated into the pagan festival of Samhain. One of those was Parentalia. And that was a day in late October when the Romans kind of commemorated their dead. So naturally, that kind of made sense to shove that together with the local traditions. I feel like that happened with a lot of holidays where the conquering peoples, in order to make it more attractive to celebrate it, they would
make themselves feel a little better.
They're like, here, we'll take on your holiday, but it's our holiday now, but you can do some of your things too. And then the other festival was a festival honoring Pomona, which was the goddess of fruit and trees, specifically apples. That's kind of where maybe a lot of these apple-related things, there's a lot of apple-related, like, fortune-telling.
Yeah.
Kind of originated from, they were celebrating the goddess that kind of was associated with apples.
All right. So by the 9th century of course, Christianity had to, you know, butt its way into everything like it used to. Mm-hmm. Flash maybe still does a little bit. So Christianity had spread its way into the Celtic lands. So in 1000 AD, the church made November 2nd All Souls Day, which was a day to honor the dead. It was widely believed today that the church was attempting to replace the Celtic festival of the dead with a related church-sanctioned holiday. Oh, can we side note really quick? Have you ever, like, been to a Halloween party at a church, like, when you were younger?
Yes, I have.
And did you find it weird?
Like, weird that they were celebrating Halloween, you mean?
No, or? Like, weird, like, they tried to make it not about Halloween and more about, like, a God holiday, or...
Well, okay, so I grew up in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. and obviously that is the church that they're talking about here, mm-hmm. because other churches don't really have saints and that kind of thing, because, uh-huh. like, they have All Saints Day on November 1st, and then All Souls Day on November 2nd. So, yeah, we definitely talked, like, we... In my CCD classes, mm-hmm. we talked about saints and stuff around that time, but they did have, and now maybe I was too young because this is like elementary school. I know I went to a party where, I mean, we wore costumes, they gave candy out mm-hmm. and had like Halloween games. But yeah, the church definitely, I think you're supposed to like go to church on All Saints Day. I think it's like a holy day of obligation. I think this, like, there's certain like holidays throughout the year that you're supposed to go to church on.
Sure. I just remember being invited in middle school to go to a friend's church for a Halloween party. So I went, and they just really kind of spun it in a way like they didn't like acknowledge obviously Celtics or anything like that, but they definitely like they made it seem like the only thing is heaven. Like, you can't, like, this is what hell would be like. And,
oh, really?
Like, they made it more scary, I guess, and not fun, like, how kids should have fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, like, there was a whole sermon and everything. And I just found it weird because I grew up Lutheran, and this was at a Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. And it was just very strange, and I felt so out of place there and so weirded out.
So it was like an anti-Halloween party almost?
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, like, you couldn't dress up in like a certain like a witch's costume. You couldn't come as a witch. You couldn't come as the devil or whatever.
You had to be like a superhero?
Or a princess Okay. I think I went a cat.
Well, I think there's still to this day like Christians or whatever mm-hmm. that, you know, won't celebrate Halloween in the way that the majority of the people do because of that reason. So
I remember as a kid, there was this one family in town who they were very strongly Christian, and the mom would not let her allow her kids out to go trick-or-treating, and she would put up this big cross in her yard and light it up in red light.
Oh, geez.
To signify the blood of Christ or something, protecting her mm-hmm. house for Halloween.
It's technically a Christian holiday.
whatever makes you happy, you do what you want, of course. But just as like a kid coming from a small town, like those kids mm-hmm. being like deprived of trick-or-treating when they see all their friends doing it, I'm sure that must have been really hard.
We talked about how it used to be called Samhain, mm-hmm. but Halloween is actually just short for like All Hallows Eve, which is what they used to call All Saints Day, because if you're hallowed, you're sanctified, you're a saint. All Hallows Eve, Halloween shortened. So it's, I mean, I'm not saying that going around dressed in, as like a monster and getting candy is like a Christian tradition, mm-hmm. but the holiday itself kind of has Christian roots, but
sure. Yeah.
Anyway.
It goes back. Okay. So back to All Saints Day. So All Souls Day, which I had mentioned was on November 2nd, was celebrated by the Samhain with big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costumes as saints, angels, and devils. And then All Saints Day was a celebration that was, like you mentioned, called All Hallows or All Hallowmas.
Like Christmas.
Oh.
Hallowmas.
Happy Hallowmas.
Yes.
All right. So that was the night before. They called it All Hallows Eve, and eventually that translated into Halloween. Do you think Halloween. That just happens when people get lazy and they start saying like All Hallows Eve, All Hallows Eve, All Halloween?
Absolutely. Well, last week we learned about Jack-o'-the-lantern and jack-o'-lantern. Right. But yeah, I mean, it's a very real thing. In my linguistics classes, we call it rebracketing. Yeah. So the next thing that I found kind of fast forwards to the Middle Ages. And in the medieval times, they did something called mumming, where people would dress up as ghosts or demons or other like malevolent creatures and kind of like go and perform antics, dancing, singing, maybe kind of little trickster type things in exchange for food and drink. That was called mumming. And then later on, probably like the 1400s or so, people would visit houses and ask for food. So this was the poorer folk would go to their richer people's houses and ask for food. They at this time were making something called soul cakes, which were a special pastry that had like some kind of expensive spices, maybe saffron, and it was made to distract and entice kind of evil spirits to leave them alone. But they would also give them to the poor people in exchange for prayers for like maybe if the family had somebody who they thought might still be in purgatory and needs their soul to like be able to pass on to heaven, then the person receiving the soul cake would promise to pray for that person. And it was called souling, going souling.
Interesting.
Kind of the roots of trick-or-treating, I think.
Moving into America, Halloween was strongly discouraged and not practiced, I guess you could say, in New England.
I kind of saw like a note because they were mostly Protestant. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't really celebrate All Saints Day because they didn't venerate saints. Mm-hmm. They had split from the Catholic Church at that point. They didn't have a festival to really honor the dead with bonfires and stuff. They had been doing that like on the British Isles for a long time. So that kind of got moved to Guy Fawkes Day on November 5th. And that's the whole like V for Vendetta movie where they're going to blow up Parliament. Guy Fawkes was a guy who had planned to blow up Parliament sometime in the 1600s. I think it was 1605 or somewhere around there. And he was foiled, obviously, because Parliament's still there. But then they celebrate him being caught by burning big bonfires, wearing masks sometimes and stuff, which is very similar to the pagan traditions for the Halloween tradition, since they didn't celebrate saints. They kind of just moved it over to Guy Fawkes Day.
You really took that fact and you ran with it. Maryland and other southern colonies really loved their Halloween, and their first celebrations included play parties, which were public events held to celebrate the harvest. Neighbors would share stories of the dead and tell each other's fortunes and sing and dance. And by the middle of the 19th century, there was annual autumn festivals, but Halloween wasn't really celebrated everywhere quite yet. And in the second half of the 19th century, America was flooded with new immigrants. And these immigrants, a lot of them were coming from Ireland, and they were fleeing from the Irish potato famine, which helped popularize the celebration of Halloween.
Yes, because it kind of remained a big deal in Ireland with their Celtic heritage.
Thank goodness for the Irish, I suppose.
Yeah, thank you for Halloween.
Yeah, it really is their doing in America, I think.
In the 1800s, there was kind of a movement to make Halloween more community friendly. And that's where they started getting together and doing like parties and parades and that kind of thing. But by the 1920s and 30s, vandalism was actually a pretty serious problem.
Yes. Yes. Here comes the trick in the trick or treat, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, they were doing things, I guess, not just, you know, your typical like egging houses and that kind of thing, but like destructive things, and it was getting dangerous at that point. So yeah, communities decided to kind of refocus the tradition back to younger children, and that's the origin of what we think of like modern trick-or-treating.
So young women believed that on Halloween they would divine the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn and apple parings or even mirrors. I guess they would bob for apples, and the first person to get an apple would be married first.
Yeah. Have you ever bobbed for apples?
No, because I don't like the idea of being underwater and someone could hold your head down and just die. Just drown in water. Maybe that was too much thinking for a young child.
No, I don't think I ever have either. And I don't like the idea of like people slobbering into...
Oh yeah, don't even.
Like your mouth's open, you're trying to like grab an apple and it's like, and then the next person, or you're doing it at the same time. I don't know how bobbing for apples works, but it kind of grosses me out. So
even pre-COVID, that's not okay. That's so gross. Yeah. I agree.
What other types of things did they do to find their future husbands?
Tricks with yarn. So I'm thinking of like the cat's cradle thing. Like okay. You do a certain amount of yarn crossings and then that says something to you. I thought I came across something. Oh, you like stand in the mirror with a candle.
At midnight.
And in the dark, what like you see a man in your mirror?
Or what? Not creepy at all, right? You see like the vision of your future husband. In the mirror.
Desperate.
Kind of sounds like Bloody Mary or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That sounds creepy to me. But I saw that they would have an apple and like peel it and try to peel it all in one long peel. Mm-hmm. And then you toss that over your shoulder and then look how it lands. And it's supposed to land looking like a letter. And that's the initial of your future husband.
Yes. Yes. So. I feel like I even did that when I was younger. Like, I feel like that was a thing.
I remember we would take an apple. Why are apples, like, related to your future husband? I don't know.
Apparently that got it.
We would take, like, the stem and twist it and, like, say a letter. Like, each time you twist the stem and when it breaks on that letter is the name of your crush or something like that.
Yes. I still remember that one too. Wow. That's very deep in my memory.
Literally, I don't think I had thought about that since like the last time I did it in elementary school until today. Yeah. Like, it just popped into my brain.
what weird things to do, superstitions to do at a young age? Like, oh, I need to know my future husband. Like, what the heck? What? Yeah. Why was that a thing?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like other, I mean, we played like the MASH game, which.
But with that, you at least get to know your income and your job and your car and your house. You get to know all of the things.
Yeah.
Like, teach me to be an independent woman. Like, twist the apple and then tell me how much money I'm going to make.
Yeah, exactly. Which career? Doctor, lawyer, twisting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, back to what we're here for.
It's a big deal today. Halloween remains a big deal. It's the second most profitable holiday in the United States. I saw a figure of $6 billion industry.
Yes, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. I also seen that people average about like $87 every Halloween holiday. And that's like mostly candy related.
It's a lot of candy.
Dude, I'll tell you the most popular candy and you'll be surprised.
Reese's?
No.
Kit Kat? I don't know.
No, it's like the worst candy. I don't even know candy why. Corn? No, but that is number 10.
Oh.
Why? Skittles are number one.
They're not chocolate.
Exactly.
It's a waste if it's not chocolate. Let me just tell you.
I so agree. Like, if I'm going to eat anything sweet, it's going to be chocolate. I am not like the fruity, like sour type candy person.
Neither am I.
Who are those people?
I don't know. They,
those people are
barbarians.
Jesse keeps a bag of sweet tarts in our kitchen and he'll like eat a handful every once in a while.
Oh.
What kind of monster does that?
I feel like I'm just like crunching sugar when I eat something like that.
And it like coats your teeth and your tongue and it's just, yeah. Ooh.
Well, did you know that the average bag of candy gathered by a child going trick-or-treating has about 11,000 calories?
Holy buckets.
3,500 calories is a pound. So that's like 3 pounds. Of fat, like put it right on your hips.
Well, I mean, they are kids, so I don't think they have to worry about it as much. And I feel like parents just kind of help themselves.
Oh, absolutely. That would be like I feel like that's one thing I'm missing out on by not having kids I don't get to raid their Halloween candy. I'll just buy my own bags of candy, right?
We took Graham last year, and he was only one at the time, so of course he's not going to eat any of the candy. What's up with people handing out Tootsie Rolls? Who's eating Tootsie Rolls?
They're cheap. That's what's up with it.
That's all.
They're cheap, and they're probably like 70 years or older. Yeah.
Stop with the Tootsie Rolls
or like not Tootsie Rolls. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there are different flavors. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
What is your opinion on the whole like, if you go trick-or-treating, you're going to get poison candy?
Like, I feel like you can kind of pinpoint the people if there were people doing poison candy. Like, I know in my hometown which houses are the sketchy houses. Mm. Would I let my kid trick-or-treat there? Probably not. I'm going to go to the houses of the people I know, right?
Yeah. I think it'd be weird if you were going to go trick-or-treat in a neighborhood that you're super, like, you never go to.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just trick-or-treat in your own neighborhood?
Yeah.
I could see, like, where my parents live now, there's, like, no kids. So yeah. Nobody goes trick-or-treating. So maybe you go to another neighborhood to do that. I saw that there's really no substantial proof. Mm-hmm. To be honest, they've never had that happen. Yeah. There has been two like fatalities from quote unquote Halloween candies. One of them was a boy died of a heroin overdose. And when they checked his candy from Halloween, there was heroin on it. But they found out later that what happened was the kid had gotten into his uncle's heroin stash. And the family then like freaked out and covered it up by putting heroin on his candy. So it wasn't actually the candy at all. It was like his uncle's heroin stash. And they just didn't want that to get out. Yeah.
Yikes. Okay.
There was another case where I think 5 kids were poisoned, but I don't know if they all died, but at least one did die, and it was cyanide in the pixie sticks. Mm. Now, it looks like a random person had poisoned the child, but what it was the kid's father poisoned the child and had taken out a life insurance claim on him not long before. So he did it for like, I think it was like a $40,000 life insurance claim on his child.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
So it's all families.
Yeah. So like both of the cases, it was
an inside job
family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
and then up. I think usually what happens, like there might be a scare. Like I think they talked about one girl had collapsed during trick-or-treating, so like the town freaked out and put word out that you shouldn't eat the candy, like, and that kind of thing. But they found out she actually had a heart condition. So it had nothing to do with the candy, but by that point the word out got out about the candy, and you know, people don't go back and check the facts like later on. They just hear that initial candy fear and go crazy about that. I also have to laugh about like, oh, they're going to give out like marijuana gummies and stuff. Dude, like that. Like,
no, like that's expensive.
Exactly. Nobody in their right mind is going to give you their edible stash to children and waste
stupid.
That.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not going to like this sounds terrible, but like if you're not going to witness the kid like getting high, like, I mean, not that that would be enjoyable anyway, that's still terrible, but like just to give it away and be like,
have fun.
I didn't need that anyway, right?
Yeah, it seems very strange. No, I don't think it's something to worry about. This is a big thing with my mom. She kind of went off about trunk or treating. And if our listeners aren't familiar, it's when cars line up in a parking lot with their trunks open, I guess. And usually the trunks or cars are decorated really fun in different themes. Like it's really cute for the kids. And kids just kind of go car to car, trick or treat, get your candy.
I feel like local businesses will like do a trunk.
Yeah,
or
and sometimes, yeah, local businesses will give out like koozies with their logo on it, like things for parents too, I guess. And like, yeah, it's a cute thing. Sometimes trunk or treats, like they're going to do like a photo booth and I don't know, like games and stuff. And like they make it cute. But my mom was freaking out. She was like, this is not fair. She's like, I put in my years, I drug my kids around town. I put in my time and here we are. We're just going to drop our kids in a parking lot and then let them go to town. Like, she's like, no, millennials are getting so lazy. instantly offended. I'm like, sorry, mom, millennials are getting smarter. We thought about this and we know how to make it easier.
I feel like so much has changed. When I was a kid, I remember going trick-or-treating. It was like dark out. Mm-hmm. I feel like now trick-or-treating ends like as soon as it gets dark. It's all happens in the daylight. And that mm-hmm. kind of, and which I get, because I did see that children are twice as likely to be hit by a car on Halloween. So makes sense. But it does kind of take away from some of that like fun, like spooky factor. Mm-hmm. But for like tiny kids, does it matter that much? Probably not. I mean, if you have like a toddler, mm-hmm. I would say 100% take them to trunk or treat. Like, who wants to mess with getting a toddler in and out of a car?
Yeah.
Like 20 times going to different houses.
My kid is not going to walk 3 blocks. And then, I mean, that doesn't even seem far, but he won't do that. And I'm not going to carry him. Like, excuse me, mom, we got smart, okay? We figured it out. We figured it out. Made it easy. One-stop drop. Another fun fact for you, the most popular children costumes are princesses and superheroes.
I don't think I've ever been a princess or a superhero.
I don't think I ever have been either. I think the closest I was to a princess was Pocahontas.
I did see that it's illegal in Alabama to dress as a priest or a nun.
Oh.
And there was one town, I can't remember the name of it, that has like a fine, or you have to get a permit to wear a mask, because I guess they had a lot of like burglaries and stuff on Halloween happening. So yeah, you had to go get a permit.
That makes sense. There's also a town in Canada that bans teens from trick-or-treating that are over the age of 16. If you're caught over the age of 16 trick-or-treating, you can get a $200 fine.
Why though?
I don't know.
Just seems like such an arbitrary thing.
They also have a curfew in this town where no one under the age of 16 is allowed out after 8 p.m. on Halloween.
Oh, well, they should have two phases of trick-or-treating then. Mm. They should have the kids, and then at 8 p.m., let all the teenagers loose and just like throw candy in the middle of the town and like have like a Hunger Games for candy.
Maybe. I wonder, this town is called Bathurst, Canada. So I wonder, maybe they have a lot of vandalism or violence.
I don't think of Canadians as being violent, but I mean, I suppose that's just the stereotype. Mm-hmm. There is a $1,000 fine for using silly string in Hollywood on Halloween.
Wow. I bet it makes a mess.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. So I guess any other time you can use silly string, but on Halloween, you will get fined.
You know what? I sprayed silly string in my car one time. I was young.
Why?
I don't know. I thought I was being funny. It was messy. And I think there was still silly string residue years later, just stuck to the seat.
Candy corn was originally called chicken
feet. Yeah, I saw that too.
I guess because you feed corn to chickens.
That makes sense. Some shelters used to suspend black cat adoptions on Halloween because they feared that the cats would be in danger of satanic cults and rituals on Halloween.
They were part of the divination that they used to do. They used to like throw bags of cats into the fire.
Ooh, that's no good. That's sad.
And I mean, they did this all up into like the 1700s. They would round up cats and burn them.
That's really sad. I mean, luckily now a lot of shelters do like promotions for black cats in the month of October. I've seen it a lot in the humane societies around here, at least. And I think at the beginning of October, it was like Black Dog Appreciation Month or Day or something like that. And so my dog's all black.
If you see a spider on Halloween, it means that a loved one is watching over you.
A spider? That's a cute one. I hadn't heard that one before. You see a lot of like spider type plastic, you know, decorations and stuff for Halloween, but I never like connected it with anything. I just thought spiders are creepy.
Spiders and black cats and bats all were thought to be possible familiars for witches. One way they're linked to Halloween. I guess if you hear an owl hooting, that means death is coming.
Oh, jeez, not what I was expecting.
No, the spider's good, owl hoot bad.
Harry Houdini died on Halloween in 1926.
I saw that every year since then, there has been a seance held on Halloween to try to contact him.
I wonder if it's worked.
It has not. I would suppose when the veil is thin on Halloween night, at the witching hour, you would have the best success for a seance or something like that. Yeah. So I do know that, I mean, we think of like a full moon on Halloween, all of the decorations feature full moons, the Halloween movies and stuff, but they're actually quite rare. The last three were 1955, 1974, and 2001. And we are due for one this year, which is kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to do something about it, but I don't know what.
Yeah.
Go dance in the moonlight? I don't know.
Why not?
And also, if you are afraid of Halloween, if you have an irrational fear of Halloween, there is a medical word for that, and it's Samhainophobia.
I mean, I did see the Michael Myers mask in the movie Halloween. Very harmless, I guess. The doom designer picked up a couple masks at a Halloween store or a magic shop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked out a William Shatner, Captain Kirk mask, and then a clown mask. And I guess the actor tried them both on and they got really creeped out by the William Shatner mask and they painted it all white and then they cut the eye holes out bigger. So really, Michael Myers is just like William Shatner.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And like, honestly, I didn't know that before, but now like every picture that I've seen in the article or whatever of Michael Myers, like, I'm like, that's definitely Captain Kirk on his face. Yeah. Like now I can't unsee it.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that makes him less scary. I don't know. Are you a fan of scary movies?
I like some scary movies. I'm not a big fan of like the slash, like hack and slash scary movies. Mm-hmm. Or like Saw. I don't like the ones where people are getting tortured or like chopped up with a chainsaw. But I do enjoy to an extent like the exorcism type ones or like the possessed doll. Or
that's funny that you say that, Molly, because last week you told me that you were scared of demons and
stuff. I know. I like to play with fire, okay?
Obviously.
I mean, that's the scariest thing to me, but I also like have a Ouija board up on my wall. Yeah, so like,
I know you I mean, do. I don't watch a whole lot of scary movies. I'm very, very much like the cutesy Halloween type thing. Like I like Hocus Pocus. I like the Halloween Town movies. Rocky Horror Picture Show is a must.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go beyond that. Why is it always like the creepy thoughts that come to the like front of your brain in the middle of the night? Like when I have to get up to go to the bathroom, why is it the scary thought comes straight to my head? Every time. Every time. Is there a thing for that?
I'm okay going to the bathroom, but then for some reason, like when I get back in bed, I'm always like, okay, hop up quick so that like nothing can reach out from underneath the bed.
How irrational.
I'm 34 years old. Like I should be over things under my bed.
I read one story like 10 years ago, and I think about it every single night that I get up to go to the bathroom.
What story?
I don't even want to tell it because it's so creepy. Basically, it was this girl, and this is why it comes to my brain. She lived in this house with her family, and every night she would get up to go to the bathroom. She'd leave the door like cracked open or whatever so she could see the end of the hallway, and she would see a figure sitting at the end of the hallway watching her pee, but it never did anything and it was always watching her. And so I always think of that, which makes no sense. I shut the door. I don't know. I don't get it. Every night though.
We don't really have a hallway by our bathroom. So I guess
me
maybe
either.
I'm safe.
There's no end of a hallway in my... What's your guys' favorite scary movie?
Oh, we just watched Army of Darkness, which is like, okay, so have you ever seen like the guy that has a chainsaw for a hand?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, so the original movie was, I think it's called like The Evil Dead. Yeah, The Evil Dead. And like they go to this cabin and they find this book and it like raises the dead and they all get possessed in the cabin. And Ash is the name of the guy and he like survives it. And then there's a second one that's like basically the same plot, but at the end of the second one, he goes through a time portal and gets sucked back into medieval times. And that's where the third movie, Army of Darkness, comes in. So he is a modern person. His hand became possessed in the second movie, so he had to chop it off and attach a
just his hand.
Yeah, his hand like was trying to like, you know, like okay. It was possessed.
Okay.
So he had to chop it off and he put a chainsaw on his hand. So he has a chainsaw hand now.
Okay.
So he can like mow down bad guys. But anyway, so then he gets sent back to medieval times, basically. And he helps like the local medieval people fight an army of darkness made of skeletons and stuff, because he's modern, so like he knows like gunpowder and how to make it and blah blah blah. So but it's super cheesy. It's like that fine line between like cheesy and funny, but like too much, you know. It's like funny one-liners and stuff. It's not scary. It's like,
yeah, it's like a campy type.
Yeah, very campy.
Like Shaun of the Dead, like that's what it's reminding me of.
Okay, yeah, but it's like from the 80s, like it's an older movie. Okay. But Shaun of the Dead, I like that movie too.
I like that movie too. Jesse was like, have you ever seen this before? It was a while ago. And I was thinking Dawn of the Dead. I'm like, I'm not going to watch this. It's scary.
Zombies. Rachel doesn't like zombies.
And it was a pretty funny one. Actually, I could. Mm-hmm. I want to watch that now.
I know. I'm like, now I'm going to go. Maybe I'll watch a movie tonight. I don't know. Should we end this?
Yeah. Okay. So we'll cut.
Do you guys have any unique Halloween traditions? Ooh. Or something that you want to know about? Because I think we have one more Halloween-ish episode before Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I want to get pretty spooky for that one.
Ooh. Maybe send us a scary story and we'll read it.
Yes, that would be fun. Yeah. Reader submissions. I like it.
Yeah. All right.
So stay spooky until next week.
See you then.
Bye. Boo.